Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to church. We're here to sing some praises to the Lord and worship His name together. And should we just check and make sure this mic here is working? This is the mandolin mic. You guys got that up there? All right, cool. So we had an interesting night of worship last night. God was present here with the band and with the teens and other folks who showed up for the concert, and we had a really good time, and I think the Lord was blessed with it. But we're pretty tired. It was like 20 something songs we sang over the course of 2 hours, but God was blessed, I think, and we were blessed to be here with Him and with the folks that we're worshiping. And so I'm looking to extend that today in a little bit quiet, kind of a quiet set, and just to kind of rest in the promises of God and to lift His name together here. So we're going to start with the chorus books, and you'll find in your chorus books number 5 is Shout to the Lord.
Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like You. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of Your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship You. Let's stand and sing. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of Your name. I sing for joy at the work of Your hands. Forever I'll love You, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in You.
Let's sing Shout to the Lord again.
Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of Your name. I sing for joy at the work of Your hands. Forever I'll love You, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Oh, nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have in You.
Amen.
Thank You, Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning is found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. It's good to worship the Lord, isn't it? Mm. It's good to be in the house of God. Always is. Always is. Listen to what the Word of God says. I read this over. I like this. I really do. I like this portion of Scripture. I like it all anyway, but that's besides the point. It says this in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 2 of 1 Peter. But you are a chosen people. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You better believe it. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Now, doesn't that make you feel good? Huh? Doesn't that make you feel good? You should feel good as a Christian.
Yes.
You should feel good as having the Lord Jesus Christ living in your heart. Absolutely. This is a day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm glad that my name has been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm sorry to go off on a tangent. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Oh my. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Fantastic. Let us bow our heads. Amen. This morning. Praise God. We are thankful, Lord Jesus, that our names have been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we are truly a people of God. And Lord Jesus, may you be seen from within us today, and Father, just feel us today. Feel our praise and our worship, that it might be as a sweet fragrance in the courtrooms of heaven as we worship you this morning with song, with your word, Lord Jesus, with all that proceeds out of our mouth. May it glorify you. We know the heavens declare the glory of God. And Father, even the trees, they clap their hands and wave before you. But Father, we are not even going to let the rocks outpraise us this morning. We are going to praise you and worship you, for you are worthy. Hallelujah. You are worthy to be praised. Bless our time together. Let all that is said and done bring glory to your name. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, my. So we're going to sing Knowing You next. It's still in your chorus book on 244. Held dear, all I once held dear, built my life upon. All this world reveres, on wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now compared to this. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Now my heart's desire is to know you more, to be found in you and known as yours, to possess by faith what I could not earn, all surpassing gift of righteousness. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. To know the power, oh, to know the power of your risen life, and to know you in your sufferings, to become like you in your death, my Lord, so with you to live and never die. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. We do love him, don't we?
Interesting, huh?
We're going to switch to your hymn books now. Ooh. And you'll find a classic everybody likes on 493. It Is Well With My Soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Let's sing verse 2, though Satan should buffet. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well.
It is well. It is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
My sin,
oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole. Cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well,
it is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
Lord, haste the day.
And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sighed. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall sound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
It is well.
It is well. It is well with my soul.
Let's go to 380 now. That's 380. Just a closer walk with thee.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. granted, Jesus is my plea. When daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, well, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Well, who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Well, just a closer walk with thee. Well, granted, Jesus is my plea. Well, daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely, oh, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Well, granted, Jesus is my plea. Well, daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Let's do the chorus.
Well, just a closer walk with thee. Well, granted, Jesus is my plea. Well, daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Woo. That felt like a banjo song.
Yeah. Next time.
Seth, Al, thank you, gentlemen. It is good to be in the house of the living God. We begin our day today with praise on our lips for Him. We begin our week with praise on our lips for Him. He has given to us a Savior, a Redeemer, who is worthy of all of our worship. Glory to His name. He has given to us tongues and voices with which to sing, and to Him it will be all about. Praise the Lord today. Friends, thank you for being out with us this morning. Those of you who are joining us online, welcome to our worship service. We're so glad that you could join us also. You are a part of our worshiping community, so welcome to you. At this point in our service, you'll notice we have something a little bit special planned for right now. Just want to make sure she is here. Haley, are you here, dear? Where is she? Oh, there you are. We're going to, I'm going to embarrass you just a little bit. No, I'm not going to. You know I would never do that. So Haley has graduated from high school, and we want to. We do want to acknowledge that and congratulate her at this time. Guys, are you ready upstairs? We have a little PowerPoint we want to put up on the big screen through the years. So sit back and enjoy. Haley, when we're done, I'm going to ask you to come up and be with me just for a few minutes. All righty?
It's only for a moment you were mine to hold. The plan. Soon unfold. So many different prayers I'll pray for all that you might do. But most of all, I want to know you're walking in the truth. And if I never told you, I want you to know that as I watch you grow. And that faith gives you the courage today.
Haley, you want to join me up front there? We just want to give Haley a little gift today. We want to have a chance to pray for her, to congratulate her. And just a few questions for you, dear. Now that this adventure and this accomplishment is behind you, what's next?
Most of you know that I work for Bob and Tracy. I'm actually manager at their shop. And I guess I'll just see where God leads me from there.
All right, so you're going to continue working?
Yep.
All right. And bringing in all the goodies?
Yes.
That we enjoy for at no cost? All right. So, all righty. Well, over the years that Haley's been a part of our church family, one of the things that I personally have seen her doing and growing is the service that you have brought to our church family, Haley. And I want to thank you for that. Her work that she does in different projects around the church, Operation Christmas Child, and so many other things. And cleaning out the youth office. Thank you. Thank you, dear, for that. So make sure you don't leave today without congratulating her, okay? So such a fine young lady, growing in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a blessing to have you part of our church family. Before you go, I want to give to you a little gift of congratulations. Congrats, grad. So you take a peek in there later today. Alrighty. Not during church. Alrighty. Can I pray for you, dear? Gracious Lord, I thank you for Haley today. Thank you, Lord, that you have brought her through her schooling experience from grammar school and middle school and high school. And Lord, I thank you for just the fine young lady she is certainly turning into. Lord, I do pray your blessings upon her. Thank you, Lord, that she's a part of our church family. What a blessing she is to us and to me. Lord, I pray your good blessings upon her. May her life continue to reflect Christ Jesus the Lord. And Lord, may Christ be seen in her. Lord, would you lead her according to your sovereign grace? Lord, put her right where you want her to be each and every day. I commit her into your care. May she be strong in the things of the Word of God, your precious Word. And Lord, in all things, to God be the glory. I thank you for her today, Lord. We celebrate with her. We rejoice with her. And we do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, friend. Congratulations. All right. Hey, friends, would you find your hymnal with me one more time this morning? Number 382 is our next selection of music for the morning. And Be Thou My Vision. I know this is a favorite of a number of you here this morning. Let's go ahead and sing all of the verses that we find there. And when you're there, those of you joining us at home, we're singing together Be Thou My Vision. So if you have a home hymnal and you want to sing along also, you're welcome to do so. Please stand with me. 382. Let's sing. Let's worship. time, as we prepare now to take up our morning offering. For those of you who are joining us at home, we have the morning offering available for you to be able to participate and share. And also, you can do it right through the church website. You'll see the link there for tithely.com, and you can worship with us in giving also. Let's pray together, and we'll worship our Lord. We'll worship the High King of Heaven. Lord, how good it is to be in your house today. Thank you, Lord, that the church has shown up. And here in this place, we praise your name. We lift it up on high. We rejoice in you. We worship and we glorify and magnify you alone. You alone are Lord and God. And Lord, now according to the following of your word, we're going to bring forth gifts today, Lord. We thank you for the ability to be able to do this. Thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us. You've blessed us first. Lord, you've blessed us richly. And Lord, with great abundance. And Lord, we know that our greatest blessing is found in Jesus Christ the Lord. And now, Lord, we give to you in his name, in obedience to your word. We give with joy. We give with thanksgiving. And we always give to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. We have our children's choir up next. Is that correct? There we go. All right. They may need a little encouragement to get. Come on up. Come on up, guys. There we go. Here they come. Here they come.
Okay, you can go in the back. I can't even get. Okay. Let me come down. Testing 1, 2, 3.
Okay, I think we're good.
Does it work?
Yep, it works.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
This is a darn thing.
World. A city on the hill cannot be hidden.
Neither do people light up a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and gives light to everyone in the house.
In the same way, let your light shine before man, that he may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven.
Let it shine for him. May we reflect the person of our Lord Jesus Christ in the world that he has put us in today for a time such as this, and always to the glory of his name. Hey friends, 2 Thessalonians, let's wrap this up this morning. I'm going to invite you to find your way there to this little New Testament letter tucked neatly within the pages of your New Testament. If you would, we're going to conclude this study that we have been in for a number of months now. If you are curious as to where we're going to be going through the summer months, we're going to be found in the pages of the Old Testament in the Psalms, and more specifically, the Royal Psalms. Those are the ones that we're going to be looking at and considering through the summer months. If you do want to read ahead a little bit, Psalm 2 and Psalm 110 will be the first two psalms that we consider through the summer months. The Royal Psalms is what we'll be looking at together. Hey, let's pray together, and we'll go back to 2 Thessalonians. We'll wrap this up today, and we'll see what the Lord has to show to us in our final summary of this New Testament letter. Let's pray. Lord, as the as our children reminded us that we are the ones who reflect you as we shine in this world in which you have put us in today. We know we have been planted here today for a time such as this, that your purposes may be fulfilled in us, that your glory, your magnificence may be reflected through us. Lord, even in the darkness that exists around us each and every day, may Christ be seen in us. And Lord, help us to remember not only this day, but through the course of this week, this month, this year, the voices of our children this morning, and the reminder through your word and through the sung word, what you have called us here to do. And now, Father, as we look into your word, your holy word, your preserved word, your inspired word, the word that is without error, the word that will never lead us astray. Father, my prayer is that we would see in the text one more time today the leadings of your Holy Spirit, what you would have for us to know and to see. So, Lord, my prayer is that we would have minds sharp and in tune. Lord, I pray that you would make us thirsty for the things of the Word of God. And, Lord, that we would want to know it, and then when we know it, to do it, to apply it. Father, may we be found in the Word. May the Word be in us. Lord, we ask these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Well, we come to the end of a journey this morning. Some final thoughts, some final words about the little New Testament letter of 2 Thessalonians. I do hope, I really do hope, I pray that the investment of this time that you have made on Sunday mornings in this New Testament letter has been a blessing to you, that you have a better handle on what this little New Testament letter is all about. Then again, that is the purpose of Bible exposition, is it not? Is to look at one book of the Bible, to take you through the major arguments of the book, to show how each chapter of the letter fits into the whole of the letter. And what a privilege it is to have the Word of God before us each and every day, and before us on Sunday morning as we come together to worship Him, to have His Spirit among us and within us to give us insight and understanding on His Word and some very important topics. And topics, I might even add, that are unfolding before our very eyes today. Well, we began this little study in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 17 to be exact, because that was the birth of this ancient church, Acts chapter 17, on the Apostle Paul's second missionary journey. We know that he made his way to a Jewish synagogue. There was a Jewish synagogue there in Thessalonica. And as he always did, he went there first and he proclaimed the word of God to the Jews that he found there. We know from the text that he was there for at least 3 weeks. The text says he was there for 3 Sabbaths. Now, he may very well have been there a bit longer, but we know with absolute certainty that he was there at least for those 3 Sabbaths. The word reveals that to us. We also know that there was both a positive reception and a negative resistance to the gospel. We know that because Acts 17 reveals that to us. And as you think about it, things aren't a whole lot different today, are they? Today, some are open and they are receptive to the gospel and to spiritual conversation about Jesus, yet others are very antagonistic and vile and belligerent towards the gospel of Christ and towards Christians. Paul and Silas were driven out of town. We read that in the Acts narrative. That was the beginning of the ancient church there. We know from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, that persecution continued on in Thessalonica even after Paul and Silas had departed. And this time the persecution came against the residents of Thessalonica themselves. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. Just take a quick peek at it. And we're just going to take some peeks at a number of different verses in each of the chapters, and then we're going to bring the whole thing together. But in 2 Thessalonians 1, 4, it says there, "Therefore, we ourselves boast about you and the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all of your persecutions and the inflictions that you are enduring." So right off the bat, Paul wants to encourage them, even in the midst of what they are facing, because they are Christ followers. That's what it was like being a Christ follower 2,000 years ago. I guess what I'm suggesting also is that not a whole lot has changed in some 2,000 years. There will always be spiritual resistance to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Satan does not want people to hear the truth. He does not want people to encounter Christ and come to the point of belief and faith. If they demonstrate a movement towards Christ through a presentation of the word, he will bring distractions in their lives to try to discourage faith. He will bring discouragements and impediments to maturity. He stands opposed to everything that Jesus stands for. And as for us today, it almost seems like on a weekly, and I don't think I'm too far off base to say, almost on a daily occurrence, we read and we observe the happenings of our day and how it rages against the truth of the Word of God and against Jesus. Paul told Timothy, this is what was going to happen in the last days, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it is, have you noticed, it is in our faces every single day. Today there continues to be the continued cry for the extermination of the babies in the womb. And those who would speak against that movement are targeted and terrorized. And so often it is the Christian community that faces that. And today, Supreme Court justices, can you believe this, are now under fire. Churches are being targeted and affected. We live in a day and age today where if you disagree with the moral position, or should I say the immoral position, you will be in the crosshairs of their persecution. There is an aggressive movement today underfoot, and it is to silence the opposition. And though our afflictions and our persecutions may be somewhat different than the ancient Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians 1:4, make no mistake about it, we are under fire today because you believe in Jesus and the Word of God. And Paul tells the Thessalonians, stand firm, be steadfast in your faith. Don't back down now. Jesus is coming soon. Let us be steadfast. And then And then, who would have ever thought that we would ever be having conversations about which bathroom to use or which locker room to use for men and for women? It's absolute lunacy. Yet these are the days in which the Lord has placed us here today to be His light and to shine, as the children remind us. Yes, even in times such as this. We live in a day and age when there is a confusion of genders. Our latest Supreme Court appointee cannot even define what a woman is. You've got to be kidding. There are no longer just two genders. There are many genders today. And your gender is whatever it is you decide it to be on any given morning that you give up, that you get up. And now we are hearing as of late that even men can get pregnant and have abortions. You think I'm kidding? No. Appeared before a House subcommittee giving testimony to this. This is a news report from May 18th, or just a month ago. Democratic witness tells House committee men can get pregnant and even have abortions. What are we thinking? I believe that everyone can identify for themselves. Amy Armabide tells House Judiciary Committee. A Democrat witness testifying before the House Judiciary Committee on Abortion Rights Thursday, this last month, declared that men can get pregnant and have abortions. Amy Armabide, the executive director of the abortion rights nonprofit Avow Texas, was asked by Representative Dan Bishop, a Republican from North Carolina, to define what a woman is, to which she responded, "I believe that everyone can identify for themselves." "Do you believe that men can get pregnant and have abortions?" Bishop asked. "Yes," Armabide replied. The remarks from Armabide followed a tense exchange between Bishop, he's the representative, and Dr. Yashika Robinson, another Democratic witness, after he similarly asked her to define a woman. "Dr. Robinson, I noticed in your written testimony, you said that you use she and her pronouns. You're a medical doctor. What is a woman?" Bishop asked Robinson, an OBGYN board member with Physicians for Reproductive Health. "What is a woman?" "I think it's important that we educate people like you about why we're doing the things that we do," Robinson responded. "And so the reason that I use she and her pronouns is because I understand that there are people who become pregnant that may not identify that way. And I think it's discriminatory to speak to people to call them in such a way as they desire not to be called. Are you going to answer my question?" "Can you answer the question?" he says. "What is a woman?" Bishop asks. "I'm a woman," and this is the doctor now, and I will ask you, which pronouns do you use?" Robinson replied, if you tell me that you use she and her pronouns, I'm going to respect you for how you want me to address you." "So you gave me an example of a woman. You say that you are a woman. Can you tell me otherwise what a woman is?" Bishop asked. "Yes, I'm telling you I'm a woman," Robinson replied. Is that as comprehensive a definition as you can give me?" Bishop, the representative, asks. "That's as comprehensive of a definition I'm willing to give you today," Robinson said, "because I think it's important that we focus on what we're here for, and it's to talk about access to abortion. So if you're not interested in answering the question that I ask, unless it's part of your message you want to deliver," Bishop fires back. This isn't some far-left lunacy in some obscure newspaper. They're going before the United States Congress and testifying to this stuff. Are you kidding me? And if you dare speak out against it, you will be within the crosshairs of their venom. These are the days in which we live. It's not a whole lot different than the saints in Thessalonica at this time. And this goes beyond insanity. Public schools, need I say more? They are keeping closed closets on their premises so the kids who want to can change their clothes at school after leaving home in the morning so they can don on now either girls' clothes or boys' clothes so they can identify with the gender that they feel at that time and their parents don't have to know about it. Our own state government and our governor voted to this end just several weeks ago to keep parents in the dark about what happens when the kids get to school. Target, they now sell body wraps for young girls so they can wrap up their bodies and then put on boys' clothes on top of that. I mean, forget the moral and ethical implications of it, but how about just the damage they're doing to their developing bodies? Yet these are the days in which we live. And it used to be that these things and conversations like this used to be largely within the adult community. And today it is being foisted upon the younger set in an attempt to normalize these things amongst youth. And don't even get me started on critical race theory and the complete rewriting of our nation's history. And if you dare speak out against any of these things, you are going to be categorized as intolerant, judgmental, bigoted, a hate monger, and guilty of hate speech. And the Word of God is under direct attack. Listen to the words of Dr. Erwin Lutzer in a book he recently put out entitled, We Will Not Be Silenced. Dr. Lutzer writes this. He says, who would have ever believed that the day would come when men would say that they too can bear children and menstruate and fight for period equity? Or that drag queens would be allowed to read fairy tales to very young children in public libraries? This kind of sexualized thinking and behavior is spreading rapidly in a nation obsessed with its overblown emphasis on individual rights for a select few at the expense of others. It's difficult to even have a real conversation. Have you discovered this to be true? Difficult to even have a real conversation on many of the social issues of our day, such as policies advocating unrestricted immigration or sweeping proposals to combat climate change or issues regarding racism. To merely question the viewpoints, Dr. Lutzer writes, to merely question the viewpoints of secular left radicals on social issues is denounced as hateful, bigoted, and racist. We who are Christians are told that if we want to be known as good citizens, we should keep our antiquated views to ourselves. We are made to feel embarrassed about defending traditional marriage and a sane understanding of gender. And like a deer caught in the headlights, we don't know quite what to do and whether we're willing to pay the price to the fidelity of Scripture, and we're shamed into silence. I think that if the Apostle Paul were with us today, his words to us would be the same as it was to that of the Thessalonians. Stand firm. Keep the faith. Don't back down now. We are the generation the Lord has put here for a time such as this, according to his sovereign designs. And these are the days in which we live. Now you tell me that the Word of God is not relevant and applicable. It's telling us in living color what these days will be like. So we also live under the umbrella of affliction and persecution. And I suspect that in the weeks and in the months to come, and should the Lord tarry, the years to come, this will only intensify. To which I will say to you again, stand firm. Stand firm. This message in this chapter is to remain unbending and steadfast in all matters of faith. Don't back down now. Do not back away from truth. And when you have opportunity to share, don't do so like a bull in a china shop. Do it with grace. Do it with kindness. In the meantime, as this is swirling all around us, to us within the Church of Jesus Christ, I would simply say this. Let us be mutual encouragers one to another. Let's love one another. Let's be in the Word together. Let's think well of each other. Let's pray for each other. Let us be a help. Let us be a blessing to one another. There's not a doubt in my mind that as we progress further and further into these days, Satan will want to divide even us. Let us stand firm together. Together. Later on in chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians, Paul tells the bride of Christ, the Thessalonian Christians today, in chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, that when Jesus comes again, he will make all things right, and he will. He is mindful. Don't you think he's mindful to those things that are happening around us each and every day? He told us these things were going to happen. God does not balance the ledger at the end of every day. But trust me on this one. When he comes again, he will balance the ledger fully, completely, and with justice. We'll leave that into his hands. He is faithful to his word. Let us be faithful to his word as we live it, as we speak it, as we share it. And let us always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is within us, when we can actually be involved in some type of meaningful dialogue and conversation with those who don't want to just shut us off completely and be belligerent to our faith, but those who are probably asking questions today because they know as they look at the world around us, something is not right here. And there were those who the Lord will lead in your path, who you can have meaningful conversation with. Speak of Jesus. Leave the results to him. And then as we go into 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we see what happens when somebody does not understand the scriptures or they do not believe something that is true. They get totally confused. The saints at Thessalonica had become absolutely totally confused about this time period called the Day of the Lord. We know that, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. They thought that the persecutions and the afflictions that they were undergoing at that time was a result of being in the Day of the Lord, that part of the Day of the Lord that encompasses the tribulation time. They thought they were in the midst of it. And take a look at 2 Thessalonians 2, 2. He says, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed. So we know they're shaken and alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or letter seeming to be from us. And what was this false teaching about? To the effect that the day of the Lord has come. It caused them to be shaken and alarmed. What comes down to is really this. What you believe determines how you live. And for these folks who had believed wrongly, who had been lied to in this bogus letter, something that was not the Word of God, they were now shaken and alarmed because they thought that their current sufferings and afflictions were as a result of being in the Day of the Lord. If you do not understand Scripture correctly, or if we believe wrongly, of course it's going to lead to being shaken and alarmed. And that is what happened to these dear saints. So Paul will have to walk them through, of course, again. Why it is, no, you are not in the day of the Lord. Not right now. It is still forthcoming, but not right now. And we know this because the man of lawlessness, the son of perdition, the one that we identify at a later time as the person of the Antichrist, he has not yet been revealed. We know that this is not the day of the Lord just yet because the restrainer of sin has yet to have been removed, and we identify the restrainer of sin. Well, first of all, who is the only one who is powerful enough ever to restrain sin of any kind. It will not be human government. It's only the Lord himself. And today, the presence of God within us and within the church is the Holy Spirit. And now it is the Spirit of God living in and working through the church that is that restraining force against evil and godlessness and sin. And when it is removed from the equation, I take this to be the rapture event, then, oh then, all hell breaks loose at that point in time. When the church is no longer present, and the voice of reason, the voice of common sense, and the voice of truth is taken away. So that's one of the reasons why they weren't in the day of the Lord, because those things had not yet happened. And then verse 3, this one bothers me greatly. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come. Okay, the day of the Lord will not come. Look at verse 3. Unless the rebellion comes first. That is frightening. And let me tell you why. And let me show you how it is happening today. Some of your English versions, as mine does, will interpret the word apostasia as rebellion. Some of your versions will translate it as apostasy. That is probably the most literal, the most accurate. Some of your versions will translate it as the falling away. Apostasia means to revolt, and it means to defect against. There is a coming apostasy that is, I believe, is present around us right now, and I'll give you examples of it. And it will come even in full force as we move further and further into the months and the years that are before us, should the Lord tarry. Apostasia, apostasy, falling away, turning away. We mentioned when we looked at that one verse months ago. Apostasy does not happen amongst the unbelievers. Unbelievers never believed in Christ to start off with. They're not going to fall away from anything. The agnostic, the atheist, does not fall away from anything. He has never embraced Christ to start off with. Apostasy can only happen amongst those who claim to be followers and believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the apostasy happens. Stand firm. Stand firm to the truth of the Word of God. Don't back down now. Came across this article a short while ago. Very prominent pastor. Fellow by the name of Josh Harris. He's written popular books. One of them is on my bookshelf in my office. This comes from Grace Capital Church. The article is entitled, Josh Harris Kisses Christianity Goodbye. He was the pastor of a large church. Could you imagine if I appeared before you on any given Sunday and I said to you as you gather, I'm kissing Christianity goodbye. Goodbye, Jesus. What would you think of that? Your pastor telling you this stuff. Josh Harris, the author of the best-selling 1997 book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye, announced on Instagram on Friday that he had kissed Christianity goodbye as well. He is also divorcing his wife. In recent years, Harris has rightly repented of his extraordinarily stringent and slightly heretical teaching in the evangelical purity movement, but he seems to have thrown out the baby with the bathwater. Ironically, the evangelical ex-pastor went from preaching one worldly dogma dressed up in Christian garb to fully embracing another worldly dogma clearly opposed to Christianity. Last week, Harris announced that he and his wife of 21 years would be separating. This is significant in part because Harris made himself the model of the promise of a pure Christian life in his book. He essentially promised young Christians that if they kept themselves pure for marriage, he even suggested refraining from kissing until the wedding day, they would find the perfect spouse, enjoy the frequent satisfaction of desire, and the blessings of children. That didn't seem to work out for him. And in his Instagram post, Harris wrote, "I wish you could see all the messages people sent me after the announcement of my divorce. They're expressions of love, though they are saddened or even strongly disapproved of my decision." Yet the former evangelical made an even bigger announcement on the same spot. He says, "I have undergone a massive shift in regards to my faith in Jesus." The popular phrase for this is deconstruction. The biblical phrase is falling away. Apostasia. By the measurements that I have for defining a Christian, I am no longer a Christian. Many people tell me that there is a different way to practice faith, and I want to remain open to this. But I'm not there now, Harris wrote. The apostasia. And folks, I got to tell you, this pastor in this pulpit will always preach this word. And will never apostasia. Regardless of the days in which we live, we will remain steadfast to the end. And this week, just this week, and this one, oh my, this one has caused a firestorm within the Christian community. If you have not heard about this, you're going to hear about it real soon. Erdman's Publishing. I have all kinds of books in my libraries from Erdman's. They're a great Christian publisher of great materials, technical commentaries, good stuff. This comes from just a week ago, June 7th, from the website Christian Headlines. Christian book publisher Erdman's endorses Pride Month with LGBT reading list. Erdman's Publishing is now publishing LGBTQ plus books. Are you kidding me? If you want to see it with your own eyes, you go to Erdman's Publishing. It's called Erdword. Books to read for Pride Month, and they'll tell you what they all are and who the authors are and what the little synopsis, a little abstract of what the book is about. Prominent pastors, world-class publishers. The apostasia. Folks, it is among us. The word of God is true and it is correct. It is sad and it is greatly disturbing, but the word of God is true. Stand firm. Don't back down now. Jesus is coming soon. And when he comes, may he find faith among us. Paul also told Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:1. He says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter time some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons." If I was preaching that text of Scripture 25, 35 years ago, I would have had to have stretched my imagination to wonder, what's he talking about? I don't have to stretch my imagination today. We see it in living color, and it's in our faces every day. And now it's even crept into the Christian community, and they are unashamed and unapologetic. Shame on them. For the Jesus who died for us and who has given to us eternal life, they've turned their backs on him now. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 3 and 4, "For this time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but they will have itching ears, and they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and they will turn away from listening to the truth, and they will wander off into myths." Friends, stay close to Jesus, stay close to his word, remain faithful, remain steadfast, encourage one another, pray for one another, bless one another. Paul told Timothy there was going to be a falling away when even the Christians will no longer endure sound teaching, but they will seek out what their itching ears want to hear and will be tickled by. And that is why this pastor is committed to Bible exposition. You have probably noticed, if you have been here for any length of time, I am most certainly not a motivational speaker and I am not an entertainer. You know that. We look at this book, we will expose it one book at a time, one chapter at a time, one verse at a time. Bible exposition. There's coming a day, and it is among us today, when those even within the Christian community will no longer tolerate Bible exposition, but will be drawn to the entertainment model of worship that is so attractive to them. Do not fall into that trap. Bible exposition is not reading a text of Scripture and then going off in a completely different direction filled with entertainment and jokes. That is not Bible exposition. Bible exposition is one verse at a time. It's the painstaking task of taking the text, fitting it in to its context, making observations, interpreting the text, and then applying it to our lives. That's Bible exposition. I beg of you today, never tire of this. Do not be found in that group that today is falling away. And then one very quick last thought before we move into chapter 3 with regards to chapter 2. One of the beautiful things that we know about Scripture is its consistency. And what I mean by this is that is this. One of the things we told you early on in our Bible exposition of 2 Thessalonians was that this little New Testament letter to Thessalonians is very, very, very early Christian literature. Okay? Probably one of the very first things that came off of the quill of the Apostle Paul, or his secretary, I should say. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and Galatians. That's the earliest stuff that we've got. With the exception of the Gospel of Mark, most everything else came after those pieces of literature. So as we take 2 Thessalonians, for example, very, very early literature, and then we put it together with things that came afterwards, we see this absolute wonderful consistency of the Word of God. There's nothing that contradicts it that comes afterwards or says something completely different. That does not happen. So if we take just the topic, for example, of eschatology, we have 2 Thessalonians. This is a very significant text, especially chapter 2. And then we add to that Jesus' Sermon on the Mount from the Gospel of Matthew, verses 24 and 25. Well, I thought Jesus came before 2 Thessalonians passed. Well, of course he did. But when actually Matthew wrote it and put it down on parchment, that was very likely after 2 Thessalonians. So as we put together 2 Thessalonians, the Gospel of Matthew, and the book of Revelation that comes towards the end of the New Testament. And we put it all together. And there is this beautiful harmony in all of the Word of God. Nothing contradicts a previous passage. And then when you add the Old Testament into it, okay? So you add, for example, some of the pre-exilic prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah. And when they write about end time events, specifically the coming kingdom, it is consistent with what we read in the New Testament. And when you add some of the exilic prophets, like Ezekiel and Daniel, it's consistent with the pre-exilic prophets and with the New Testament. And when you add some of the post-exilic prophets, I think of Haggai, I think of Zechariah, specifically Zechariah 9 through 14. And you put the whole thing together into what we call today the Holy Bible. And we see the consistency of it. It does not contradict itself. And that is why we say from this pulpit over and over and over, we say it every Sunday, this volume will never lead you astray. It is the Word of God. And to it we will continue to preach and be unashamed and put forth its truth. The beautiful consistency of the Word of God. And then we come to the final chapter, and there we see Paul at the end of chapter 2 and beginning of chapter 3. He's telling them to, would you please pray for us? We're in prayer for you. So they asked for mutual prayer. And then as we moved into chapter 3, there was the word to continue working. Be faithful. Be busy when Jesus comes again. There were those in Thessalonica who were waiting for Jesus to come. And one of the things they did, they just stopped working. They moved into idleness. They were busybodies. They were lazy. W. E. Blackstone, you've heard this quote twice already. I'm looking for the Lord every day, but I'm hustling to get the chores done before he gets here. That's good. It talks about the imminent return of Christ. And then the letter closes, perhaps with one of the most needed things these young believers needed to hear in their day, in light of their persecutions and their afflictions. And I think that we need to hear in our day also. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We looked at this just last week. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. How does this happen? The Lord be with you all. It is because of his indwelling presence within us. The Lord be with you all. The Lord is present. He will be present even in the midst of days such as this. We have been put here for a time such as this. And in light of that, let us be steadfast, found faithful. And when he comes again, may he find faith amongst this church family. Folks, what it comes down to is simply this. You know, I do not know what tomorrow holds and the craziness that will happen this week. I do not know what tomorrow holds. But I do know who holds tomorrow. And in that I will rest. Let's pray together. Lord, as our children reminded us, would you cause us to shine today? In these days in which we live, these days that... these days where we see Scripture being fulfilled before our very eyes. Yet, Lord, you knew this also. You told us what was going to happen. Lord, thank you that you put us here for today. I know there are times when the occurrences and the events of these days sadden us and they offend our spirits. But, Lord, I pray that you would make us wise and discerning, able stewards, those who demonstrate the joy of the Lord, a thankful heart, and that point the way to Jesus. Lord, would you give to us appointments this week, this month, where we might be able to share that good news? For we know, Lord, that people need you. People need the Lord. Lord, never, ever, ever let us back down. May we be found steadfast, faithful, especially in days such as this. Lord, would you work through this congregation, I pray. Father, keep them strong. Lord, make them bold. Father, give them courage, I pray, that they would be people of the book and people who love Jesus, filled with your Spirit. And bright lights shining in dark places. And Lord, it is a privilege to worship you and to tell others of you. Lord, work in us this day, this week, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, friends. Hey, find your chorus book with me this morning, your little blue chorus book. We've been in it already this morning several times. Let's close together with number 227, the little chorus, simply entitled, Find Us Faithful. Please stand with me. Let's sing together. Let's worship. Lord, dismiss your congregation this day. May they be found faithful to you. Today, this week, forevermore, loving you and serving you. Lord, I pray your blessings upon this congregation today, Lord. Keep them firm and strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for each one of them. Uphold them with your mercy. Send them forth with your grace and in your love. May Christ be seen in them, now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you, dear friends. Have a blessed day in the Lord today. You're dismissed.